People should have had a choice. They should have known that these drugs could do them harm so that they could make an intelligent choice. Now, there are some people who are in such dire straits that they might say, you know, there is a 2% chance that I could get hurt from this drug, but the benefits that it might offer, it's just worth the risk. But that entails the ability of knowing that there is a risk, that people actually have, that there is some other information, but this information was hidden. And so the first thing that I'd like to know is why not one district attorney or state's attorney in the United States has taken up homicide 2 charges against these drug czars who have killed 50 to 100,000 people in the United States. Anytime that, and my question, when reporters start talking about marijuana, I go into this and I say, how come these sheriffs are so interested in marijuana and they're not interested in these drug kingpins, murderers, who they could easily, or at least who they could put on trial? Because right here in San Francisco, 200 people, that's a serial killer. Imagine if somebody just went into hospitals and homes and just shot people. Hey, they'd be out searching for them. We know where these people are. Let's just get a subpoena on them. The reason why I bring this up is because, but let's take a look at who is actually opposing us. You don't see a lot. You don't see the alcohol industry or the tobacco industry doing it, and we don't have the wood pulp industry and, you know, all these other industries that Jack talked about that opposed marijuana in the past. We don't have those. What we have today is one particular special interest group which is trying to dominate the conversation. And that special interest group is the criminal justice system. And what this is about, I'll tell you what it isn't about first. It isn't about whether marijuana is good for you or bad for you. It isn't about whether it harms society. It isn't about any of those things. As far as our opposition is concerned, it's about jobs. That's all it's about. They make no pretense anymore, and they can make no pretense that it's for preserving our health. And let me just give you three reasons why I say that. I was at the International Cannabinoid Research Society conference last year, and there were three people who gave, there were more than three people, but I'm just going to mention three papers that were given. And the first was about lung cancer. Dr. Donald Tashkin has been brought out by the government year after year for his studies on lung cancer. And probably you heard him say, or other people quote him as saying, there are serious changes in the cells of marijuana users, in lung cells, and the precancerous growths, and I'm very concerned there's going to be an epidemic. So a few years ago, one of his grad students said, well, let's do a population study here in Los Angeles where Dr. Tashkin does his studies. And the studies found, and he reported, I guess it was the end of his grant program, but he reported that if you used marijuana in Los Angeles and you had a better chance of not getting cancer, lung cancer, than if you used nothing at all. And then he found out that if you smoked tobacco, you had your rate of cancer, potential of getting cancer, goes way down if you used marijuana. And then the second one that I wanted to talk about, second study was by Esther Fried, and she's in Rehovot, Israel, which is a science city in Israel. And she took these rodents and made it so that they couldn't produce anandamide, which is the body's endocannabinoid. And when they had pups, the pups couldn't suckle. And it was only when cannabinoids were injected into the mothers and then expressed in the milk that the pups could suckle. And the relevance that this has to, I mean, first of all, this was a great study in terms of rodents because they had wanted to have this study done for a long time. But in terms of people, what this was about is failure to thrive in humans. And so the a mother who has a baby with failure to thrive, the indication might be smoke a few joints every day. And then the third one, the third one was on Alzheimer's. And what they found was they took these rats, and the rats that were given cannabinoids as well as amylites got Alzheimer's much later and much less, it was not as virulent as with the pups that had no, with the controls. And so they used to talk about memory. Well, what's the ultimate memory loss? Alzheimer's. Now, I don't remember anything from 1967 to like last week, but so anything that I said during that time, I'm not responsible for. But we're talking about serious memory loss, and recently somebody sent me a study on neurogenesis in the hippocampus of marijuana-using rats. And so any rats out there who want to increase their memory, you might want to start taking some marijuana. But the reason why I brought these up was these were the very reasons that our opponents used to use, that it was the health of society, the health of people, and everything that they said not only turned out to be wrong, but the opposite turned out to be true. So there's no longer a scientific basis. Oh, remember they used to say, well, we're not sure whether marijuana is harmful, so we have to wait, right? We have to wait till all the studies are in. Well, now that the studies are in, They haven't found it. So you would think that they'd all say, well, let's legalize. But the reason, of course, why they're not legalizing is because marijuana is a jobs issue. Marijuana prohibition, $30 billion a year. How do I get $30 billion a year? The cost of criminal justice in the United States, $600 billion. 5% of the arrests are for marijuana. 5% of $60 billion, $30 billion. Sorry, Harvard. But actually, it's much higher because the marijuana is a funnel. It's like this. It's 5% for arrests, and then you have people in prison, and that's 10% of the prison population. So it's an upward funnel. And then when you get to probation, parole, rehabilitation, it might be even 20% of the people employed. But let's just say 5%, that's $30 billion. If we said 10%, we're talking about $60 billion a year. Pretty incredible numbers there. So that's why it's so important that we have the science on our side now, and we can say, well, there is no scientific basis for it. So what's the basis for it? It's politics. That's what it's about. It's a jobs issue. And these people are fighting for jobs, just like coal miners might be fighting that the mine wasn't closed down, or the UAW used to fight for its labor and so on. And these, they have some very powerful unions. They might have the most powerful unions in the United States. And these are union people fighting for their jobs. And their jobs just happen to be arresting marijuana users. So they don't care whether marijuana is harmful or not. They know that marijuana prohibition is good for their pocketbook. And just think, you know, you think that, how many people here think that the drug war has been a success? Nobody? Oh, here's a person who understands it. It depends what perspective you're looking at. Because when marijuana was first made hard to get with the onerous taxes in 1937, there were estimated to be 55,000 marijuana users. Now, if you think of each marijuana user as a potential client and each person who's arrested as a client, then they started with 55,000 potential clients, and last year they had 750,000 clients, 13 times the original potential. They have 55 million potential clients. And in fact, if it continues going this way, in 2035, there will be more marijuana users in the United States than there will be people. Now, I felt this was a great conundrum, and I couldn't understand these figures. You know, it's like these minus two or something. So, but then I realized it's the pets. It's the pets, and they've already got the canaries. The canaries are singing. And I just wanted to mention that this is really good because I had a cat. Her name was Rosie, and she had AIDS, feline AIDS. And so I went to a vet to get a recommendation, and vets can't give recommendations to their cats. So I could not give this cat, who was suffering from feline AIDS, I couldn't give her the medicine that she needed. I couldn't break the law. Yeah. So if we think about the politics of it. First, we have Merck, and these people are walking away with their golden parachutes and, you know, whatever. And, you know, Merck is taking a few cases now. But these are criminals. You want to talk about real criminals. These are people who knew they were going to kill people. And yet, the marijuana people are made to be criminals. And I'm saying we have to change our rhetoric. And here are a few reasons why we have to change it. First of all, most of us, most of our lives, voted for people who didn't win or for issues that didn't win. And we think that we're the minority, at least politically. And I'm a minority because, as you know, I'm a Haitian. And just because of my race, I've been discriminated against so much. But we are a minority, or we think of ourselves that way. So when I tell you on this issue we are the majority, most people say have this revelation. Yes, we are the majority. Think about it. The majority of people think that medical marijuana should be legal, right? The majority of people think that people shouldn't go to jail for marijuana, right? We have the polls, right? Marijuana is more popular than any politician, and I'll prove it to you. Montana, Bush won by a wide margin. Medical marijuana, a wider margin. Politicians don't like to hear that. But just think about it. Who would you rather spend an evening with? Some really good grade A sense, or any politician on any given night? Well, I'll see you maybe next week. Okay, so this politics, when we look at it, that we are the majority. First of all, I want everybody to say, we are the majority. Let's say it all together, synchronized. We are the majority. Doesn't it sound damn good? But we are the majority. We don't have to explain to people, but marijuana is really good for you. We don't have to go and say, oh, well, you know, the kids, don't worry about, you know, we don't have to do that. People understand it. The only ones who are pretending that marijuana isn't good for people are the cops, and they're the wannabe cops, the judges and the prosecutors and all of those people. They're our only opposition. That's it. So we know that it's scientifically proven that marijuana isn't really harmful, and we know that the majority of people want it, so why isn't it legal? Well, it's a political issue, and it's a political issue with special interests. So if a person is harassed for marijuana, that's a political harassment. And if a person is arrested for marijuana, it's not just a marijuana arrest, it's a political arrest. And if a person is in prison for marijuana, and I don't care if they had enough marijuana to build their house with for personal use, they're political prisoners. And I don't care if they brought it into the country, they're political prisoners. And they are not criminals. The real criminals are the cops and the judges who know better. And the judge, you know, I have had some personal experiences with prosecutors and judges who lie or who are deceitful. And not only in my case, but in cases that I did when I was a expert witness. And I will tell you, there is a conspiracy among, this is a RICO conspiracy, and the only reason we can't bring it is it's the very government that is performing a RICO conspiracy on us. And we have to think of ourselves in this term, and when we talk to the press, we have to do it in these terms, that these laws are nonsense. These are political laws only there to preserve the jobs of cops. They serve zero purpose. They do much more. Remember Jimmy Carter said, no law should be more harmful than the behavior that it's trying to regulate. Well, these laws do a lot more harm. Scientifically, these laws they suck. And everybody knows it. And it's a question of the elephant is walking across this room, call it out. Say, well, I don't think the cops should be on this panel. And the reason is they have a self-interest. I don't think it's they. Have you ever heard a cop saying, no, I don't think that patients should get 2 ounces. I think they should get 4 ounces. Did you ever hear a cop say that? No, they want a quarter ounce or something. And even when cops, it seems like they're with you and you know everything, it's a tactical retreat or tactical thing, because this is a war over jobs. Are the jobs going to be held by the civil bureaucracy, or are they going to be held in a police state? And that's what this thing is about. And you have to call it as it is. When the cop is on a panel about marijuana, you have to say, you know, you're being a little disingenuous because you have a special, now I'm not saying I don't have a special interest in seeing marijuana legal. I might sell a couple more books, but say to the cop, well, you're being disingenuous if you don't announce to people that you have a special interest in this because it's a jobs issue for you. And before we go into that, we're not going any further until you admit that, yes, your job might depend on the marijuana laws, because one out of every 20 cops or one out of every 10 cops is used to enforce marijuana. In fact, I hear reports. Is Dale here? No? I heard a report that 10% of the arrests in Oakland are for marijuana. I mean, we have hundreds of killings, but they're working on marijuana. And it, by the way, I'm not even talking about the Merck killings. You know, that's a special category. You know, just think, serial killers. Let's say you got homicide too for the killings, 50,000 killings, 50,000 years, off with good behavior. They'd be off in 25,000 years. So what we have to do is look at it this way. Every arrest is a political arrest. Call it as a political arrest. Ask why, when you're on a policy board, say the cop shouldn't be on the policy board. The prosecutor shouldn't be on the policy board because they don't know anything about marijuana. They don't know how it's used. They don't know how it's grown. They never wanted to learn anything about it. They're ignorant people. The only thing that they know about is looking at it, detecting it, and arresting people and forgetting to read them their rights. That's the only thing that they've learned. They should not be on any policy boards. They have no right to be. Let's get the experts on the policy boards. Let's call it like that. This is a political thing. These are, not you guys, but the politicians who are in league with them, and the cops, because the cops are the tail that's wagging this big dog that's a billy club. And they're wagging that dog. And the reason that they're wagging that dog is because they feel if they can control the politicians, they don't really have to care what people think. Just look what happened with Prop Z in Oakland and what's going on with that. And the while people are saying we want marijuana legal, they're closing up the clubs in Oakland. So what we really have to do is get to the point of realizing that we're not dealing with the issue of is marijuana good for you. We're dealing with the issue, these are special interests. Those are the only people opposed to it. And I don't have time to go into it, but how to separate the politicians from the cops. Because right now, there's a bungee cord between those two groups, and we have to cut that bungee cord and let the cops go into free fall, because that's what the people want. They want civilly regulated marijuana. Thank you.